Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. J.D. Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, Zox scored today. Ox scored Friday. Blake's picking all the songs.
I like what's Blake's the theme, Ox Blake?
Score. Well, that's I was gonna say how long.
5 seconds in. I can't figure it out.
Ailish last before. Yeah, exactly. Ailish, you're the type of person who goes to the movie theater and it's like it's a murder mystery. And you're like, who's the killer? Who's the killer? Who is that?
Just tell me.
Tell me who it is. I'm so tired. Do you read the last chapter of the book when you're reading?
Never. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, just
what
curious
do you think?
Because why don't
I'm
you just try
sort
to play along?
Serial killer.
Well, I think you have a little touch of it, yeah. Because you have the no impact. Yeah, like I think it's a little bit there. It's a tiny bit there. It's Blake Soscord. I like the. I always appreciate a Oxcord Friday where you start off with a good song. It's all about that first song. Everything else is inconsequential, truly. It's just, hey, I picked a song and now everything else is going to flow from that. And it's just like having the Oxcord in real life, right? When someone passes you the Ox, you got to hit the first song.
Oh,
it's just the
pressure.
First song pressure of picking where you're going to go with the vibe is so important. And so I just think congrats to you, Blake. That was a great way to start. Now everything else is just Ailish trying to guess the theme.
Yeah. So Ailish, there is a theme, as always. I don't know that Ailish will get it. If she's going to get it, it'll be at the 7 o'clock one. JD, if you don't have it by the 9 o'clock song, I'll be surprised.
Okay.
Oh, so mine will take less time. Because
well,
I'm smarter.
No, I think you've got one. No, I think you have one shot to guess what the theme is, and oh, it's the song at 7 o'clock.
No pressure.
Whereas JD, it might be more of the build. As a hint, it is April Fool's today, so there's a little trickery here.
Oh my God, maybe. It is April Fool's Day. Oh no. Yeah. Oh yeah. God, you guys.
April Fool's, the tricks are out. The tricks are out. Do you know what's funny is it's after the pandemic, it's kind of like, I don't have any time for your BS, okay? Like, nobody trick me. I'm already too thin. I don't have room to give tricks right now. I don't have the threshold for being tricked. I'll just break down, you know? Like, I'm not ready for a day of tricks. No tricks. No tricks. What's been nice, by the way, is this the ticket queen, Ailish Forfar, you know?
Okay.
She's just...
Goes to like, two sporting events in 3 years.
Goes to two sporting events in 2 seconds. You more like it. And not only the seats were good again. Quality. You're stunting with gold medal holdings. You know,
oh,
you're just
the
there.
Best part. It was so cool.
Yeah, that was the best part. That was a nice part. I'm looking at your... I thought you were going to kind of keep it low-key who you were with because I saw your Instagram story was just you at the game. Oh, just humble Ailish once again in her
myself.
Humble seats. Yeah, just by herself. Who knows who she's with? And then all of a sudden it's, look at me, stunting after the game, stunting with the squad, gold medal. So tell us about being in the building. Like, you're there for the Leafs game last night.
God,
I was curious about how...
Game.
Well, just I was like, you obviously posted the part of Matthews' goal and you, you know, celebrating that. I thought it was a little funny that Matthews' 50th goal comes on an empty netter when he's not known for empty netters at all. Like, of course, that's the way it happens. But I was curious just about kind of your feeling, the vibe in the building about Matthews' chase for 50. Like, how it felt when the puck was on his stick, when he had a chance at, around the goal, when he had that there, like... Did the 50 sneak up on you, or were you kind of like all game long going,
no,
come on,
no.
I want to see 50
honestly,
tonight. Yeah.
The arena, every time that Matthews had the puck, I don't know if it came through on the broadcast, but we want 50. We want 50. And
I was watching in a bar with mute.
Okay, well, then you didn't get the we want 50, clearly. But it was awesome. So from the first period, obviously the Leafs were down quickly, and it was a bit alarming. So many Jets fans, like you kind of forget how big that, you know, fan base is. And every time the Jets scored, oh my God, everyone stands up with their Jets jerseys. Oh yeah, man. You're like, okay, sit down. But every time that Matthews had the puck, it was clearly people were there to see him score his 50th goal. He had a couple chances, but obviously, like, you know, they had a couple power plays where everyone knew this was it. This was it. Didn't happen. Then the period is winding down. You're like, he better friggin' get this goal, man. We are here for this. He gets the empty netter. And I think it was like a 3 or 4 or 5 minute period there where we all stood up and just screamed. Like, my voice is a bit raspy this morning because I was yelling. People were throwing hats on the ice. People were throwing whatever they had to try to celebrate for him. But it was funny because we were just chatting in the stands, like, you know, we really want to see him get his 50th goal. He didn't get it on any of the big power play opportunities. He didn't get it like a big turn of the moment period or a moment where like it was going to help propel the Leafs to victory. And then he gets it on the empty netter, which we all laughed about. But either way, really, really awesome opportunity to see somebody do something very special. I'm so glad that he did it while we were there because I really wanted to see it. The fans gave him all the love and support that he should have got. It was just a really, really cool experience. Like one of those, maybe, like, hopefully not once in a lifetime, but a pretty special thing to see Auston Matthews get his 50th goal on home ice. It was awesome. Then he got first star, so everybody stood around and waited. Usually people like sprint out, right? Everybody stayed around, waited for him to get his first star honor. It was really, really special. I'm super glad that no speakers caught on fire as well. I was sitting very close to the speaker that caught on fire from last time, and I had my eyes on it, and I said, buddy, don't ruin my night, and he didn't.
Yeah. So 50 is special, and it's crazy because it just – there's 15 games left. Like, there's 15 games left, and he has 50. And, Blake, it's something that we've talked about a lot on the show is trying to project out what he's going to finish with. And the two-game suspension, it's like it didn't derail anything. It didn't slow down anything. You definitely can't quibble with the empty netters because, like I said, he never gets them. This isn't a cherry-pick stat guy. But the pace in which he's continuing to score, you're kind of like the 50 was an inevitability. 5 is an inevitability. And now it's just sort of in the back of your mind of, well, what exactly is it going to be, you know?
Yeah, the empty netters thing is, you know, obviously people will troll a little bit and joke, like, oh, you need an empty net or whatever. Last year when he won the Rocket, he was the first player since 1995 to lead the league in goal scoring without an empty netter. You have to go back to Peter Bondra in a shortened season for the last time that happened. He has... So I think he has 5 this year, but he only has 7 in his career. This is not an empty netter guy at all. But yeah, in terms of pace, here are a few numbers to contextualize what Matthews has done here. Obviously, he's only the 4th individual Leaf to do it. He's the first since Dave Andrechuk in 94. He's the fastest to do it in 62 games, which is the big one. And if you're looking at, hey, is he going to catch Rick Vive for the franchise record? Well, yes, absolutely. He has 15 games to get 4 goals, and at his current pace, he'd get 12.1. I don't think he can get 0.1 goals, but that means that his current pace is 62 goals, which is pretty crazy. He also, we could change that pace from 50 and 62. He has 43 goals in his last 45 games.
Yeah, yeah. That's
like
that's
he funny. Is like, this is a huge chunk of season where he's borderline 50 and 50 after that cold start. I know it doesn't count. You got to get 50 in your first 50 for it to be official or whatever, but it's conceivable he could have a mid-season stretch of 50 and 50.
No, it's wild. And at this point, I really don't understand what the case would be if he finishes on this pace for him not to get the heart. Right? Like, I know Edmonton has played better. I know Draisaitl's in the goal-scoring race. I get it. But what he has done in this second half has been obscenely special. It's just, you cannot ignore that pace. 43 and 55?
43 and 45.
43, yeah. It's
your brain won't wrap around.
No,
I love the Draisaitl element of the heart conversation because it puts Oilers fans into a pretzel where they're already like very sensitive about Toronto media coverage. But if you say, well, Draisaitl has McDavid setting him up, then they have to go, well, Matthews has Marner setting him up. So they have to admit that Marner's good to make the case for Draisaitl. So yeah, they're twisted into a little pretzel there.
So it's undeniable what kind of a special season he's had, and it's undeniable really the pace he's going to continue at right now, or at least it's really hard to fathom him slowing down at this point and not hitting 60 and not getting around 60. And as we've said all along, if he hits 60, then the heart seems to be pretty much locked up for him. But the other part of that game, Ailish, that I kept thinking about was they had Shalgren in net. He lets in the 2 early goals. The Shalgren magic looks like it's dissipating a little bit. And it's not that he's playing poorly, but it's, hey, this is an AHL goaltender that they have back there who has limited experience, and they might have to lean on in a playoff game, which is scary. Jack gets cleared yesterday, right? That's the news that comes down. They're not going to rush him back into the Thursday game, but he's cleared to go. So I'm guessing we're going to see him on the weekend. Hard to imagine that we don't. They're going to want to have a runway with that player, clearly. But just how, once again, how dominant they felt after that. They have a slow start. They look shaky. They're in their building. And they have this goalie, and you go, oh, okay, you know what? You guys have been playing great lately. You just had the wins against Boston and Florida, and those are important. And then, no. They just end up being the wagons that they are. Giordano has that incredible pass. He's just bat. I can't stop talking about Giordano because he's so good. He's so important to this team. But how the confidence I have in the way these guys are playing at this time of the year. You hate saying it because they are who they are, but it just does. They continue to show maturity as a group. It's just every stage, every step. And I'm starting to wonder if the goaltending thing has really propelled them and forced them to do this, where it's a tightening up of the game that they didn't have to have when Jack Campbell was back there red hot to start the season. It's something that maybe it took them a little bit of time to recalibrate when Jack started to play poorly and they had the break in the season. And now it just kind of feels like they know we're not going to let our goaltender decide this. We're just going to do everything within our power to make sure that that's not an element of the game being goalied one way or the other. And they kind of feel, choke proof in some ways with that.
Like, JD.
I don't know
what to, I will
I
say that.
You, they really
what are you going to do? Stab me?
Yeah, I know.
Stabbing just, victim?
They just look mature.
It seemed like a different type of resiliency, you know, to get down that early right away in the first period on home ice against, you know, another Canadian team with a lot of fans in the building. It could have certainly went the other way. And in the past, we have seen it become a collapse. But there was a, I don't know if it's a leadership type thing, if it's a veteran presence that's helping them, but this resiliency to be like, no problem. We'll start chipping away. We'll get one, we'll get two, we'll continue our way, tie it up, take the lead, you know, play ahead, play behind. They're able to find the way to play in all situations, which is completely different than Leafs of the past. You know, when I was there watching, it's 2-0. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. But there just wasn't that type of anxiety, it looked like, from the team. They looked very stoic. They looked very much prepared, a long game ahead to just chip away. And, you know, even there we go with Willie Nylander coming in clutch. It's like a playoff opportunity, just like last year. Maybe this is him starting to say, hey, I can be big when it matters, right? And he was one of the, obviously, the momentum shifters yesterday. To see him kind of have a big game when it was needed was a very good sign.
So, yeah, I thought Nylander was great. I thought the last couple games, you know, this is, and Justin Bourne made this point on Twitter last night, is like, it almost puts you in a lose-lose when you get demoted like this, because if you don't play any better, it sucks. You're playing poorly. If you start playing better, then even if that was going to happen anyway, the coach looks justified for calling you out and bumping you down the lineup. But I thought the last couple games has been the best example of Nylander. What a Nylander who, yeah, he's still a finesse guy. I still want him handling on the perimeter and creating high danger chances that only guys as skilled as him can. But I like a dirty area Nylander too. And he gets both of those goals last night, being in the paint, picks up an assist too. He's already passed his career high in points, which, you know, zoom out and recontextualize how good he was to start the season. It hasn't been that bad overall. It was just a couple week blip there. But I think, you know, I mentioned the other day it was a good tape game for him, where if you're the Leafs coaching staff, you take that game, I think it was the Florida game, and you say, look, these are the shifts that should be the William Nylander shifts we're seeing in the playoffs. And I thought he rolled that right into a strong Boston game and right into a strong Winnipeg game. So it's a case where a lot of things are clicking. JD, I'm with you. I thought there was that level of self-assuredness, and also, yeah, the goalie's not going to be there for us, so we're going to have to play a good defensive game, and we're going to have to, like, I don't know if it was the 50th goal or just having some fun, but Auston Matthews was everywhere offensively. And I know he only got the empty netter. Felt like he could have had three or four last night. I don't know. It seems like a team that is at least the last little bit getting ready to play their best hockey at the right time. And we'll know more for sure because they've got Tampa, Florida back-to-back Monday, Tuesday next week. So, you know, of course, they'll lose like 5-1 to Philly on Saturday or something like that and then beat Tampa and Florida. But, no, I'm with you, man. I think this is a team that's finding themselves a little bit.
I guess what I struggle with in evaluating them is the ghost stuff that we talked about where Ron McLean brought it up, and I keep referencing him because he's a historian of the game. And when we ask him about them being weird and them being different, and he references how they just struggle with events. And if the event is small or created or the event has been playoffs, they have done that. And still regular season games that are a measuring stick opponent aren't events to me. And so it's good that the Leafs are playing this way, but we have seen this in the past where they've played against good teams. I don't remember them looking this consistently good. I don't remember them ever kind of firing on all cylinders the way that they are right now for this kind of a stretch. And yes, again, the goaltending remains the biggest question. It's funny about the Nylander thing too, because do you know what his expected goals for was yesterday just by chance, Blake?
Sure, I don't.
42%. It was negative. So it wasn't a good expected goals for, but again, he popped on the eye test and I go, this is what I love about the way these get deployed is that Nylander did score two goals. I thought he was great in that game. His stats were bad in that one little weird on poor sample game.
Those are 5-on-5 stats that he scored two power play goals. But,
yeah, of course.
Yes.
But so you look at that stat and you go, it's a weird cherry pick thing where, okay, well, this is a night where we're going to go eye test. All right, cool. We just want to make sure about that. But I Nylander...
What do we do when we reference those stats a lot of the times too, though? It's not only is it 5-on-5, but we look at the deployment, right? And Nylander's now, yes, he's getting his power play opportunities to be offensive, but he's being trusted on that defensive line. They haven't changed that line's usage a ton. They haven't been like, you have William Nylander now instead of Ilya Mikheyev. You've got to be an offensive line. They had 7 defensive zone faceoffs to 2 offensive zone last night. So for them to come out even close to even in that stat you reference is still, I think, you know, shows that that line's doing some decent work.
Where I was going with this is, too, is I think that you just keep sticking with this.
Yeah.
This continues to look great, and it's like the defense pairing started to look, where I'm not messing with Happy. You've had to shuffle some things around because of the injuries. You've had to shuffle some things around because guys were scuffling. But it's starting to feel as though there is a roster balance that is happening. And that's exciting to me. And then the other thing is, lastly, is just, I don't know what you do with Mikheyev. He continues to just be this penalty-killing beast. There's nobody like him in the league. And
you enjoy it.
You can. You just got to soak it in.
Yeah, I know he's going to go somewhere. This is how I feel. He's going to end up signing a big money contract with a crappy franchise. Like our friend Jackie Redmond, who's on the show later today, tweeted at me that he's going to be in Detroit next year, right?
Oh, no.
And that he'll get some contract and it'll be way too much money. And then the fans in that city will hate him, you know, because he's going to get paid. And when anybody gets paid in a cap league and they don't score, you know, 30 goals, he's going to be a pariah. That's just how I feel the destiny of this guy is going. That it's going to end up in an overpay. It's going to end up being in a different market. I wish that they could end up keeping him. This is one of the byproducts that you hate of having the 32 teams and a salary cap and not being able to quite figure out what exactly the value of a guy like that is. Why do you think I keep going back and forth on what the numbers are going to be, where I'm saying, is it going to be 3.5? Is it going to be 4.5? What exactly is it going to look like? Someone's going to overpay him. I'm just so impressed with how he's changed his game around the net. And the shot remains crap, but the finishing is quality. That was another quality finish. Feels like all he's doing in practice is breakaway drills because he knows he's got the foot speed. So he's just practicing his penalty shots. Like, that's it. It's working for him, though. I really like the player. I'm going to really miss the player because it's just harder and harder to believe that with these numbers and the way that he's playing and the uniqueness of the shorthanded stuff that he's not going to get something that forces the Leafs' hand. Just like the Hyman deal, right, where you go, you'd love to have Hyman, But everybody, including myself, who was a huge Hyman fan, looked at that contract and went, yeah, you just can't do that. You cannot do that on this team. And to me, he's the next guy in that's going to fit that realm.
I will say the fans absolutely loved him last night.
Yeah.
But the biggest, other than Matthews obviously getting his 50, was when Gio scored his first goal.
Yeah.
You are in a tough competition for people that like Gio the most, because everybody in that arena would have rivaled your obsession with him. He was like, you would have thought that he scored the Stanley Cup winner last night. It was really cool, though. When people were just so excited to cheer him on. His first goal as a Maple Leaf, and that was a really special moment. He was very, very, you know, calm on the bench, but I felt like he probably soaked that in and was like, that was pretty cool. So his goal, Mikheyev on his another PK goal. How many does he have, Blake?
I think he has 11.
11. Like, as soon as he got the puck, you're like, wow, here we go. Everyone stands up ready to cheer. So
it's outrageous.
I thought it was outrageous, but very, very cool moments. And everyone's on the Gio bandwagon, so you better make space, JD.
He's obviously going to be a fan favorite, and that can change. You saw a little bit of it where you go, hey, how's the foot speed in transition?
Oh, that first goal.
Yeah. So in the playoffs, if those things happen, but that's basically their entire blue line, right? Riley has always sort of struggled with gap control. Giordano doesn't necessarily have the foot speed. Justin Hall hasn't exactly been stout in that regard this year. Mm-hmm. And they're relying on Jake Muzzin coming back, and it was a real problem with his game all season long. So we'll end up seeing how it works out for him in that regard. But Toronto is a reactionary fan base. It can be certainly a a fan base that doesn't, I don't believe, watch a lot of outside hockey. Like, I don't want to say self-obsessed, but it is a little self-obsessed, right? Where you go, you're looking at your team and your team only. It's not like other markets in Canada where Vancouver, you end up watching an earlier game because it's on television, or Calgary, a little bit more hockey-obsessed. Toronto's not like that. We have other teams. We have other things going on. We'll watch other high-event sports, right? Toronto's the only city, I think, in Canada that's going to have a lot of people, for example, care about UNC Duke. Right? We just have high-event sporting interest, and the Leafs are high-event. So they get crapped on a lot as hockey fans, but I really do believe that they know the team and they understand the players, and there's a reason why, like, blue-collar guys who have an impact on winning, people can pick up with this fan base. People can understand the impact of a guy like that. That's just something that everyone here has always sort of been able to understand. There is an intelligence to this Leafs team. Usually people have a pretty good beat, a pretty good pulse of what this team is like, and I just think he's one of those dudes that fits the mold of Toronto fans get it. Toronto fans get it the second he's been playing here. They understand the timing of this deal and just the way that he's balanced things out, the improved team defense. He's the ultimate we get it guy.
I will say I don't really need to see a ton of him with Justin Hall anymore. I think until guys start getting back and you're forced to juggle the pairs for those reasons, I really like him and Liljegren.
Same.
Him and Hall give up two goals last night, and then they go back to him and Liljegren, and immediately it clicks and they look good again. So I don't mean that as a shot at Justin Hall, who has looked a little better lately, and I get that Keith still wants to juggle and stuff like that to see what can click. But I think Gio and Liljegren is your pair right now until guys start coming back and forcing a juggle.
I thought the Leafs had 11 shorthanded goals total. It's he has 4 shorthanded goals himself. I think that's what it is. The Leafs have 11 total shorthanded goals.
Yeah, he has outscored opposing power plays when he's on the ice.
When he's on the ice.
PK situation. So he has 4 shorthanded goals.
But do they have 11 as... Why does that number ring out in my head?
Give me a second. I'll look it up. But yeah, so...
11 sounds right.
The Mikheyev context is he's got... he's scored 4 shorthanded goals, 56 minutes on the PK. The Leafs have outscored opposing power plays 5-3 in those minutes. Yes, the Leafs have 11 shorthanded goals and have only allowed 3 the other way when they're on the power play. So a huge, they're +8 in terms of penalty kill, and they're +23 in terms of power play.
Either way, the team just feels like they're clicking right now. There's really hard, it's hard to pick at nits. And Blake, I'm totally with you. I have... I just see Liljegren looks bigger. He looks faster. He's snapping the puck around. I when he's with Giordano, I've seen just a completely different guy over the last couple of weeks. Let's take a break. And I'm curious to see what the A-list is, if it's just you and your celebrity encounters and okay. How many times people were congratulating you on your gold medal as you were walking.
Oh, yeah. Congrats. I'm like, I didn't bring mine. It's at home.
I'm humble. I'm the humble one. I put mine in a safety deposit box. I didn't bring mine to the game. That was you strutting around. The A-list, that's next on the Fan Morning Show. JD, Blake, Ailish. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Happy Friday, everybody. You made it. You know, you're driving to work right now. This is it. You get 2 days of rest and relaxation. Then we're back to the grind. It's Blake's Oxcord. How do we find your Oxcord again, Blake? Spotify. What's the name of the playlist?
The Fan Morning Show, Oxcord Friday. Ailish, I'm sorry when I said that you would get it with the 7 o'clock one if you were going to get it. Vic played them out of order, so I don't know which one you'll get. There was an intentional order today, but that's out the window now, so no big deal.
Pretty rude of him.
Drama on the show, drama on the Oxford. Blake, put the playlist together. Yes. Wait, Vic.
He's lying.
Turn your mic on, Vic.
You got one job,
he's
Vic.
Lying.
Wow. Buddy, I have Vic's saying I'm lying. I have the email right in front of me.
Yeah, I'm looking at it too.
PM.
Fallout Boy, The Music or Misery, 6:30.
7. Look at the follow-up email I sent a little bit after that.
Oh, follow-up email.
Oh, I didn't get the follow-up.
You made the mistake.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The follow-up email.
You should have known, Vic, that Blake would have a follow-up email to his Oxford.
I actually am looking in my inbox right now, and I don't see a follow-up email.
I think this is a fib.
The controversy. This is really a big controversy now. It's like Blake's Oxcord.
I think this is because two of our guests made certain requests, and I juggled the order to accommodate those requests.
Requests for the guests. Wow, Blake is just really in it. Like this. Is
I
a
put
new
a lot into these Oxcords.
Yeah, I know. I kind of feel bad about my Oxcords. I'm always like, what am I listening to when I work out? That's what I.
Yeah, yours is like a screenshot of my last 8 songs I played.
Exactly. JD, I did think in honor of Benny, I did think about like getting all Kyle Lowry references for all 8 songs since he's back this weekend.
Yeah.
But that would have been a huge lift for Vic in terms of radio edit.
Yeah,
but now that he's ruined me like this,
Vic just put his screenshot of his inbox in the chat, and the last email was Blake Thursday with your Oxcord Friday, and then he's got Atlanta Hawks brand communications. Somebody named Dave Sheldon, LA Kings,
the rest of his emails,
public relations. Oh, he's got someone about the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
Look, no, but Ailish, this is so you guys don't know this. You guys don't know this, but this is actually a weird quirk of working at The Fan is that there are all these distribution list emails that you get signed up for, and we all got signed up for them like a million years ago. And so
unsubscribe.
It's not even one of those. It's just that. You end up getting, because you're on weird distribution lists at The Fan, because we've all done weird different jobs here for forever, that, yeah, you get Dallas Cowboys media relations emails where they go, make sure you show up today at 2:30 at the Arlington Center. And you're like, why am I on this? I'm in Toronto. This makes no sense for me. You'll get something, Oakland Athletics Clubhouse, just an update on what it's very strange. We are in on a million different weird emails, and I don't exactly know how these lists got put together. It's one of those things where only assignment editors should be getting them, right, at Sportsnet. But for whatever reason, there's a billion of us that are on these weird chains of every single email from any organization is part of the mix.
So it's a running NBA Twitter joke, too, that there's one guy who sends out all these betting lines all the time. And if you're on this guy's email, you've made it as an NBA person. But we're pretty sure that he just, like, he has some sort of bot that emails every first dot last at company name possible. So that might be how, like, the Dallas Cowboys want so many people at that event.
No. We subscribe to these. Oh. We at the Fan.
Yeah, I thought they were push.
No, we at Sportsnet joined email list and distribution list when it was, but this is a back in the day thing, right? When this is the way that you needed to make sure that you got this information. And now everyone is just perpetually stuck in a world where they get 10 billion emails from 10 billion different teams that don't matter. It's insane. It's just, it's nuts.
I will say that one of my greatest qualities is unsubscribing to email lists as soon as I can. If I get an email from you and I don't want it, unsubscribe. I'll do all the work. I'll go to the bottom of the email. I'll press unsubscribe. Yeah. I'll do your thing where it says, why are you unsubscribing? Oh, I never signed up for this email list. I'll click that one. I'll go to the next page. I'll put the survey in. I'll say, nope, didn't want this. And then when they send me another email saying, we're sorry to see you've unsubscribed, I'll follow up again and find that other unsubscribe button. Like, I don't want garbage in my inbox, okay?
Okay, so
mine is very clean.
I need to hire you. Because
you're one of those people that has
not only
hundreds,
not only do I have hundreds, but I am the reason you guys all get hundreds. Because whenever the place is like 5% off on this item, I go, well, gotta at least take a little peek and see what we've got in the
I know they know
and it works. That's what I'm saying. And they send, you know, the places that I'm talking about where they send you 45 different emails of the same thing.
It
basically every day they go, don't forget, there's the sale, don't forget. And I can get through like one or two of those emails where I don't click on it and I just delete it and I go, no, JD, you don't need more sneakers or you don't need another hoodie. And then it just keeps beating me down. It's like, knock, knock, JD, we're here with a sale. What did you see about the sale? And then eventually...
Candles. Buy one, get one free.
Yes, exactly.
You need more candles in your life.
Exactly. And eventually I break and eventually I go to the site and all of a sudden I've got a cart filled and I'm going, this is just so cheap, I got to pass it up. And then it's hundreds of dollars later and you
go,
how did this happen?
It's like I'm saving money. Honestly, yes. It's like I'm saving money by buying 12 candles and getting two for free.
It's like, you guys ever get, like, obviously you ever get, but when you get the Uber Eats promo code where they go, spend $50 and you can get
30%
off.
Do I ever get that? I use it the minute it pops
but that's,
up.
But that's what I'm saying. They go, spend $50 and you get 30% off and you go, well, I'm not a sucker.
But I did find a little loophole on that one.
What is it?
Because sometimes you don't have enough of yourself to eat worth of food. But
I guess what? That's never been a problem. I've never gone, well, I can't eat $50 worth of food. That's never been an issue.
Well, I have found that if you use the $50, you get, like, what is it, 20% off? That's the one we're talking about?
I think it's 30,
on, like,
yeah.
At, like, a brewery or, like, a
alcohol. No, they
alcohol.
Stopped doing that.
They stopped?
Yeah.
At a place that also sells that. So you get your entree and then you're like, I'll get, like, 2 6-packs of beer. What? They changed that?
Yeah,
I was
Ailish.
Scamming.
Like, Ailish tried to tell Blake and I about beer delivery. It's the cutest thing that's ever happened in the history of this show. That's unbelievable.
Guys,
you're not going to believe this, but there's a loophole for beer.
I was scamming them so hard.
Oh, my God.
Next, you're going to tell University Blake that McDonald's delivers coupons in the mail right before March Madness.
Yes, this is amazing.
That was really great.
Thank you, Ailish. Yeah.
Before we pivot
to
Ailish, a little bit of positive news. No soccer talk today. The draws at coverage starts at 11. The draws at 12. But Alphonso Davies will make his return April 12th for Bayern. That news coming down this morning. He hasn't played since the middle of December. So if you're looking ahead to Canada's friendlies and certainly the World Cup roster, that's a huge step forward for Davies. So that just came down thanks to producer Danielle.
Breaking Canada soccer news from Canada's number one soccer station.
Just no group of death today. You know, like that's
very exciting.
How do you look at that news? As Because my anxiety goes, well, we just got good news, which means that now the bad news comes, and that's Group of Death.
Okay, not... no. You'll get a promo code for good
news. The bad news was pot four. The bad news is done.
Okay.
The bad news is the last 30 years of Canadian men's soccer.
No, the bad news is not done because it's time for...
Now, it's time for...
Hey, yo!
The A-List.
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
What's up, baby?
Good one, JD. You're on the ball today.
I'm really not. I said that Mikheyev had 11 power play goal or
Hey, you know what? I believed it.
Yeah, I know. You're gullible.
I'm like, ooh, 11. Yeah, that makes so much sense. That's not crazy at all.
The second I said it, I went, there's no way that's right. I think it's the Leafs total.
At least it was close.
Use your promo codes for beer deliveries. Yeah. Okay, so yesterday on the A-List, which is apparently one of your favorite things I have ever said on the A-List, was the Eric Church canceling his concert for the March Madness. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to yesterday's episode of the Fan Morning Show, wherever you get your podcasts. So somebody's one-upping Eric Church. J. Cole is having the Dreamville Fest this upcoming weekend. And instead of canceling his concert like Eric Church did, he's going to be streaming the UNC Duke game at the concert so people can watch the show, watch the basketball, do both. He's certainly doing this as a way to you know, say, hey, you can have both. I think it's a great move. J. Cole is going to, maybe those people, I mean, Eric Church and J. Cole, very different music genres, but maybe people will just say, instead of being an Eric Church fan, I'm going to mosey my way over to J. Cole's Dreamville Festival.
So J. Cole is, he went to St. John's, so you could see him being a Red Storm fan, but he grew up in North Carolina. And I know this not because of this, but because there was one year at Summer League in Las Vegas where the Raptors had former UNC player Kennedy Meeks on their Summer League roster. Mm-hmm. And J. Cole was performing in Vegas that week, but came out to multiple Raptors games sitting front row to watch Kennedy Meeks. Like, they were boys. This is how closely he follows the UNC team, that he's out at Summer League ball watching a 905 guy in hopes that he makes the team. Now, Kennedy Meeks was one of the most lovable 905 guys of all time. So
it was also a kind of really well-known Tar Heel, too, like a really good player and also just a unique-looking guy, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's like a baby Huey vibe to Kennedy Meeks.
one of my all-time favorite 905 guys, and I once had a Raptor staffer tell me that, like, when they pick guys up at the airport for draft workouts and take them to dinner and stuff like that, that he was, like, the number one A best person that they've ever brought in, which says a lot when, you know, this is an organization that values that stuff. So yes, knew J. Cole was a UNC fan because he's so big that he did the D-Gen, I'm going to go to multiple summer league days to check out Kennedy Meeks.
It's crazy though, because guys who play for those programs and who have success in those programs and don't make it to the NBA are still just mega, they become superstars.
Yep.
And that's the thing. And even to me, Kennedy Meeks, I remember when he came in and did a hit with the 905 promotional team for a season. He came in studio and did a radio hit with me, and we're sitting there and I was just kind of joking around, but I'm going, oh my God, it's Kennedy Meeks, because you play at those programs. And it's only going to get, it's, I don't know if you're, so guys who stay more than a year, right, the non-one-and-dones who accumulate at those kind of programs, they're going to only even become bigger names now with college students being able to get paid. Like, there's actually going to be more incentive now, I think, for some of those dudes to be at those programs and be kind of those faces that become four-year seniors or whatever at a program like that. I'm hopeful, anyways, that we do get to that place again, because one of the things I do miss a little bit about college sports, and I don't obviously miss the days where, you know, you're watching Winning Time and you're reminded that Magic Johnson's playing 3 years of college ball, right? And you go, what? That's nuts. But I really do miss the feeling of a college team that you got to know over the years. That was even like the last – one of them was Fred VanVleet's team, the Wichita State team, where you went, man, we know all this. We know this team because they've been in the tournament year after year, and you're hoping for them to break through. That's the one downside of this UNC-Duke game, is that you're looking at it and going, oh, all these dudes are brand new. There's no there's no feel to this anyways. There's no feel to the knowing of the teams anyways. Like, there's no familiarity. That's what I should say.
Yeah, even that Kennedy Meeks team, like, doesn't have, like, Tony Bradley and Theo Pinson are in the NBA.
Yeah.
And Justin Jackson's kicking around somewhere in the G League. But that's not the same level of, like,
yeah.
Like, even, like, a Cole Anthony went to UNC, and I don't, like, so there are so many guys that I picture, and, like, the first image is them in college, and Cole Anthony I don't have that with. It's, yeah, I'm with you.
What's next?
All right. What's next? So I sent this one to JD. He didn't respond, so that's nice. DK Metcalf came out yesterday saying that he eats one meal a day.
I did respond to this.
Oh.
How dare you? I said same.
He says, I think I said same.
Okay.
I eat one meal a day, I drink one coffee, and I eat 3 or 4 bags of candy.
Yeah.
That's the quote.
This is one of those. Ocho Cinco had this in the past, right? Where he did a Hard Knocks, and Chad Johnson ate McDonald's every day. And he goes, who says you can't eat McDonald's every day? I eat McDonald's every day. People are not saying that McDonald's is bad for you, that it's a bad diet for you. And you go, yeah, if you're Ocho Cinco and you're burning like 1,500 calories a workout minimum and lifting every single day and working with a personal trainer and also probably not just eating that McDonald's alone, but getting somebody that's cooking for you later and making good food for you at some point in the day. Absolutely. Same thing with DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf, you can't work out and look like DK Metcalf. You're born and you're DK Metcalf. You know, like there's just some things that he is. I believe him when he says those things, by the way. I believe that is his diet. Like, I'm not doubting him for a second. But here's what's going to happen. The second he loses a step and he's not DK Metcalf jumping over for
candy.
No, he'll be like, I'm plant-based now. Like, we see this over and over and over again. This is how this operates. But I think it's funny because what he says is something where we all aspire to have that diet where we go, okay, maybe I'm going to intermittent fast. Now I'm going to eat a little healthy. And then it always results in the maybe not 3 bags of candy. That's pretty intense.
That's what was crazy to me. Like,
but we all have our version. We all have our version, like, of the 3 bags of candy, right?
Pizza.
We all have our binge thing that we all want to eat and that we all end up
crushing.
You know
what mine are?
Yeah,
the craziest part of this to me is only having one coffee.
Yeah.
That's because I do a 6 a.m. 4-hour radio show. But the idea of only having one coffee is that's a lot. He must like hammer a pre-workout though. Then if he's only having one coffee on a professional athlete's physical workout schedule, I would guess there's some pre-workout in there.
Well, he also lives in Seattle, where he can get great coffee. So only
he just
having
needs one.
Yeah,
we got to get him on the show, Danielle.
No, here's the thing about great coffee is I would drink even more of it. What are you talking about? Great coffee means you only have one. No, great coffee means I'm gonna have a second, a third.
I love it's funny, even when I'm not tired or whatever, I just leaving the house and walking around, whenever I see a coffee stop, I always think, oh, I should just go in there and get one. I should, if it's summertime, I want an iced coffee. It's fall, winter, spring, whatever. I just want a regular. Walking around and doing errands and having a coffee is way better than walking around doing errands without a coffee. Like, when has anyone ever asked you the question of, do you want a coffee? And you say no. It's like only after you've had 4 in a row or 3 in a row where you go, you know what? I really shouldn't have this. Otherwise, I'm going to have jitters until the afternoon. But no,
even that, though, to get back to Ailish's big reveal about the beer deals is once you have too many coffees and you have the jitters, you just have a beer to take the edge off.
Well, the other thing for me is I always look at it like you got to – if someone goes, oh, they show up without a coffee for you and they go, oh, I didn't think you would want one. I'm like, why would I not want one? Why would I not want a coffee? When in the history of anything would I not want a coffee? You know what I miss about being in the office, though, is Daniele's $35 coffees that he would get every once in a while, his specialty coffees.
Yeah, his like chestnut latte or whatever
Yeah.
We'd be like putting in the Starbucks order, and it's like, you guys are like, tall black coffee.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I will get a chestnut praline, double butterscotch, extra foam, 3 pumps, non-fat, extra soy, extra fat, but also non-fat, 3 sugars, no sweeteners. And you're like, what is this item?
What is this for? It's Daniele's coffee.
Okay, but a very important question is, if you're eating 3 or 4 bags of candy, what is what is your candy? Like, what is the candy that I think I would put chocolate in candy. Would you?
Yeah, at that volume.
He's like a bag of candy.
Yeah, if I do that volume, I can't do like a sour candy or something like that. Like, I got to go. I'm probably going mini eggs or M&M peanuts. Yeah.
Mini eggs.
Three bags of candy to eat in a row is and like, don't get me wrong, I love chocolate, and baked goods I can really go hard in the paint on. If you give me a box of baked goods, like a box of donuts, I can I don't know how many I could eat, but I think I could actually, I don't know, I think maybe I could eat like 8 donuts in a row. I've never really tested it, but I'm just saying, maybe I could even eat 12. Oh.
I've eaten 12 donuts hour before as part of a challenge.
You guys
when
are disgusting.
I back in my previous life.
But do you think you could eat 12 donuts right now today in a row?
I mean, I did it when I was like in much better shape, and like maybe it's because I was younger, it was easier to do. But
I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like 12 donuts. 12.
We did a.
Are
a
they like Krispy Kreme where it's just like air?
So
or like we
they
talking
were,
like
they
thick
were,
donuts.
I got to choose 6 of them, and the other 6 were caramel apple fritters. This was part of the
disgusting.
Thing
Ooh.
Because it was a challenge to see if anyone could do it, and there was money on the line, of course.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it was not good.
I
felt
okay.
awful so for a really gross. Long
I
can, time.
I'm saying I can eat a lot of baked goods, so I'm not trying to pretend like I'm above candy or above sweets, but. Eating 3 bags of candy actually sounds incredibly disgusting to me. Like, first of all, I don't like any kind of candy that is Sour Patch Kids, Starburst. None of that stuff attracts me whatsoever. I don't want – it does nothing for me. It doesn't move me in
Skittles?
Any way. Nope, nothing. Hate it all. Disgusting. Makes my teeth itch. Makes my tongue scratchy. I don't like it. My brother loves sour candy. I have zero affinity to anything. Hard candy, gummy candy, none of it. I hate it all. None of it for me. It's trash. Chocolate, adore it. That my 3 bags would be, I'm with Blake. I would be like, give me mini eggs, give me M&Ms.
Mini eggs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, give me stuff like that. But I would say mini eggs is the thing I could get through 3 bags of. If I had to go, I've got to go through 3 bags of this. That's what it's got to be. That's what it has to be.
I like those sour, a lot of people in the text line, Sour Patch Kids. Like,
no, disgusting.
Intense amount of people saying Sour Patch Kids.
I know. I don't understand you guys. What is your mouth?
Okay. Maybe people have different tastes, JD.
No, but I just even mean 3 bags of Sour Patch Kids. Like, I have 2 Sour Patch Kids, and my mouth is like, boy, that ripped up my tongue. Like, I
what
love Miss Vicky's chips, the salt
gummy
vinegar.
Bears.
No. Don't when I was a kid, like I feel like gummy bears is a child's candy. Like, who eats gummy bears now? This is an adult. Like,
I
grow up.
Candies and
gummy bears.
Gummy bears is like the top of the list.
Imagine going to someone's house and they had gummy bears and they didn't have children. I'd be like, police. Hello, police. Yes, like, no.
Oh God, no. Yeah, gummy bears are a fan favorite. Sour keys.
Gummy bears. That's
no
so
sour
outrageous.
Keys.
No,
Gobstoppers?
No, that's just
none
crazy.
Of these interest.
That's not
you.
Even real anymore. Gobstoppers? Come on, that's like a
one thing I can say that I've never eaten is a Mike and Ike. I've never had a Mike
an
and Ike.
Old person thing too. That's another thing.
An old person thing.
It is, and I mean me old person. Like, I don't think anyone under 28 knows what a Mike and Ike is. Like, there's no way. That's a candy from all Mike and Ikes were already made. You know, like if you're buying a Mike and Ike, it's an already made candy. Like you bought it. It was processed in 2004. That was when they stopped making Mike and Ikes.
That's so disgusting.
Yeah.
Mike from Newmarket just texted in.
Mike
ate
of Mike and Ikes is like, don't say that about Mike and Ikes. So,
Mike
He's
from
like,
Newmarket said,
Ike is dead. Don't say anything about Mike and Ikes. This is a time of tragedy for us. Sorry, go on.
He goes, I ate a bottle of sriracha hot sauce for $60. It was rough.
That's the
and
stupidest
so,
thing I've ever heard.
So a many texts bottle? In right now about food. I'm going to quickly rip through them. Oh, just one here. And then, Blake, you have a comment. Connor in Keswick says, nibs, mini eggs, and jelly beans is his
nibs,
3.
Also nuts. Nibs
These,
is a horrible
A lot place. Of people who don't have retainers, that's for sure. Permanent retainers because of the sticky candy here. No, the mini eggs thing reminds me, though. Easter's coming up. And there was generally, I can't go home for Easter. I mean, I don't really like celebrate Easter anyway, but it's a long weekend. And it's usually the opening weekend of NBA playoffs. So every year my family's like, oh, are you coming home for the long weekend? I'm like, no, it's opening weekend of playoffs. Not last year, but the year before, they FaceTimed me eating my mini eggs. They were like, oh, you can't make it home.
It's pretty rude.
So we're eating your Easter candy. And they FaceTimed me to do it.
Sad.
That's true love
awful,
right there.
Right now, now you guys wonder sometime, why are you the way that you are? You're figuring it out now.
Sad story that you just shared with us. Sadder than Ike of Mike and Ike's being dead.
Rest in peace, Ike. Yes. Pour one out for Ike this morning. Let's take a break.
Oh, boy.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Caitlin McGrath of The Athletic about your Toronto Blue Jays and how Jordan Romano stacks up in the all-time weird injuries list. Sprains his ankle, walking his dog. Caitlin McGrath, Toronto Blue Jays. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.